Dr. Chen.
Morning, so.
We can start with Dr. Chen. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning. Good morning, all. Linus Joseph here.
Oh, good morning to everybody. Let me take this opportunity. Please wait. I'm sorry. Let me take this opportunity to greet honorable members who always made it possible that the committee must sit and deliberate. And also, let me take this opportunity to welcome a new from the box, a executive officer, Hawk, and also let's welcome the Athletic South Africa, the Department of Sport, all our staff, starting from the department until to the committee. Hoping that we are all well, hoping that we do keep a distance amongst ourselves, we don't do things that we're not supposed to do, we sanitize, we put our mask, not a safe thing. I don't know people whether they like to be smart when they put that plastic thing, which is, to myself, it's not a mask. You can put mask in and then put that nice thing, especially for the ladies if you want to be glamorous. But hey, I'm suspecting this is not the time for that. We are here, not yet, getting rid of this virus. We are hoping that your families, you are taking care of them, they are taking care of themselves, but we know that most of us have lost families, friends. It's not an easy year since last year. But you know, some of the things are happening. When I was looking and listening, when we're having listen to the results of education, at least there's still a light through a tunnel. When some provinces made it, whilst we are less the percentage. But if you still remember, we didn't want our kids to go to school, and could you believe those who are from rural areas not having anything to back up themselves. We do thank the teachers who were forefront. Many have been passed on because they were going to classes to assist our kids. Thank you, the Department of Education. We are here today wanting to listen to you, hoping that as you are hoping to go to these Olympics, you are not going to take risk with our kids, our athletes, because until your playbook, until what you have presented forwarded to us, you are double-checking whether that where you are going all is well, and your players, your athletes are kept in safe from going up and down, looking after them. I don't know about vaccination, because it is a right of somebody to do that. I'm hoping that this meeting is going to be fruitful. We're going to deliberate, we're going to listen, and we'll do oversight. We'll want to assist, and you also going to assist us by giving us information. I'm hoping that the minister is here. Honorable the minister, I didn't greet you.
The minister indicated that he is going to be a little bit late. He has another meeting to attend, but he'll say he'll be here by 9:30.
Okay, thank you so much. Honorable members, this is an agenda on front of us. I've opened the meeting, and can any member of this committee adopt the agenda?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mshongo.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Any seconder? You know, sometimes Honorable Member, yes, thank you, Honorable. Yes, Honorable Sinisi, I've noted that the agenda has been adopted. Please, Honorable Member, this is about 9:00. We're supposed to be live. We can't take time to think whether you adopt or not. This is our time that we are taking. Honorable members.
Chairperson, I second the
adoption. You accept it. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Akaula. Thank you. We are going to the, according to agenda, to the apologies. We have apologies, Jabu and Solega.
No, Madam Chair, it's only the minister's apology who is running late.
Chairperson?
Hello, Honorable Member.
Chair, note my apology. I'll be leaving it around about 12 or 12. It's not up past 12. We are not done.
Thank you, Honorable Mshongo. Any other apology?
Chairperson, may I record apologies from Sascock?
Yes.
First of all, Honorable Chairperson, let me greet you and all the members in the House and my board president and board members. I'll introduce them later, but for today, the apologies are Dr. Debbie Alexandra, Ms. Muki Khrobla, Ms. Ayanda Ngobo, and Mr. Alan Fritz from Sascock. Thank you, Chairperson.
Maybe let's give you the chance to give us the entire executive in order that we must not waste time. We have got about 4 apologies, isn't it?
Yes, Chairperson, that's great.
Yeah. Yes.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Hello.
I missed the apology of the Deputy Minister. She is not going to make it to the meeting.
Okay, thank you so much. President. We are waiting for introduction of the entire executive of Sascock.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Morning, sir.
Good morning to the members of the committee. I concur with you, Madam Chair, that 2021 is going to be a interesting and very difficult year, but challenging as well. Before I continue, just to share our condolences from SESCOC, Madam Chair, for all the comrades and persons that we've lost due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I think of Milady George, I think of Ms. Khan's husband, and I think of the DG's father. I'd like to share SESCOC's condolences to all of those members and any of the members of the committee who have lost family and friends, as we have done. Thanks, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'd like to start off. I'm the chairperson of the president of SESCOC, Barry Hendricks. If I can ask the other members of the board to switch on their video so that they can introduce themselves and you can see who they are. Thank you, ma'am.
Hey, Mr. Dusso, thank you.
Hi, it's been nice thing. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm delighted to be part of this meeting.
Thank you. And just hi, welcome to Lana, first Vice President. Morning to all honorable members. Thank you, Landine.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Yulang Pinnabalt, and thank you for having us. Good morning to everybody else.
Thank you, Pinnabalt.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. It's Kim Popel.
Thank you, Kim Popel.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and good morning to committee members. I'm Disangweni.
Oh, who's that?
Kondisa Ngwenye.
Oh, the
Morning.
Any other member? Are you all? 6 plus 3. You are 9.
Chairperson, if I may, there might be connectivity problems, but Mr. Anand Singh is also present, and Ms. Natalie Detoit is also present, and one of the members, Ms. McQuena, will be joining us shortly.
Hi, Ravi. Sorry, it's Anand Singh. Hello, everybody.
Yes, you started by you. Thank you so much. Let me take this again opportunity.
Mr. President?
Yes,
I apologize. Can we get the federation? They were elected now from different federations. And I respect that. I wanted to find out, especially Ms. Kim, for the, which federation is it from? Thanks.
Kim,
yes. Is Kim here? Was elected to Canoeing South Africa.
What?
Canoeing South Africa. Can you hear that? Am I audible?
Yeah, audible. But okay.
I was saying the position. Yes, she's from. The federation, I heard the name, but we have deputy president, we have president of finance, we have other positions. Can they tell us which position do they have in the SESCOC? What are you holding, Mr. Kim?
I'm a board member.
Just okay.
Just an ordinary board member.
Okay.
Thank you.
Honorable members, let me tell the president that what he has said, because we have been in session, we did pass all the condolences, but it's in order because this is the first time that you meet with us. All what he has done, we have passed condolences, we took silence of moment for all whom you mentioned. Thank you for noting that. All is not well. And then let me check Athletic South Africa. I wanted to do credentials once and for all. who is here?
Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson, and good morning to all the honorable members of Parliament. I'm Alex Kosana, President of South Africa. I will request my other colleagues to introduce themselves and some of their staff members. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Dora Webo from South Africa, Athletics Athletics Chairperson.
Where are you? We don't see you. We want your face.
That's my face.
Yeah, well. Come on, son, Thomas.
Thank you. I'm just unloading my camera.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Sit down. We want to see you correctly. You. Oh.
I'm sorry, Dora Webo.
Oh, yes. You are?
Dora Webo. Okay.
Thank you.
Hello. Matatsiki Gabile, as KSA board member.
Thank you, Mutatsi.
Honorable Chair, my name is James Mudoy, board member.
Oh, James.
Wow.
Yes. This is social distance. Oh. You are? Any other member?
Morning, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks, Yako. This side.
Oh,
I am cross country.
Hey, Jack, Jacob. Are we done?
Good morning, Chairperson and Portfolio Committee members. I'm Peter Lawrence. And I'm the chairperson of Track and Field.
Thank you, Peter. Any other?
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Yes. I am Shireen Obo. I am a board member. Shireen Obo, I am a board member.
Yes.
Thank you.
Are we done?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There should be two staff members, Mr. Ezekiel Sepen, who's our excellence manager, and Mr. Teres Mapokotena, who's our acting CEO. But I think they'll be joining us. They may be having some technicalities in joining us. Thank you.
Honorable members, the distinguished guests, can I take this opportunity to give SASCO to give us the presentation? Thank you.
Person, point of order.
Yes, honorable.
Chair, we adopted the agenda. I think we must follow the agenda. We must have minutes, because we
don't. I'm sorry. Yes,
we have a pile of minutes.
Yes,
we've adopted the agenda as is.
Yes. It's a mistake, honorable Shongo. According to the agenda, was considered the minutes and where can you put the minutes in order that we must consider and adopt, and after adoption we'll go to matters arising. Okay, the minutes are in front of ourselves, honorable members. Look, if you were present on that day,
thank you, Soleka and Jabu, honorable members. These are minutes in front of you. Come again. Who's speaking?
Chairperson.
Yes, honorable Mshaw.
I think there must be correction. We don't have an annexure. And the annexure is for us to track matters arising, issues like I can mention one. The department told us that they're going to give us but staff which are not with the disciplinary. I think those are the matters arising which must have annexures. Now, out of the when are we going to have annexures for us to track all outstanding issues? We're waiting for documentation for the department. To date, nothing has happened. Now, I don't see the annexure on the presentation.
According to what Honorable Songo we've asked things which were supposed to be circulated to the members. I'm suspecting this morning or evening that I've seen something which was just circulated. I don't know, Soleka and Jahu. Can you respond in this question? Did you get anything from the department?
Chairperson, we are still waiting for other information from the department. We've been sending requests for the information that the committee has been asking for, even for other meetings that are outstanding. The department even indicated this morning that they will be updating some of the information and sending it through to the portfolio committee. So for now, we're still waiting for them to send us other information. They did send us the information with regards to the report that was presented last week, but there are still outstanding issues that they want to send through to the department. I think there's no quality checking then, Jen.
What did they send?
They sent through the reports yesterday. Can you hold on, Chair? So that I can have a look at the reports that they sent yesterday. And then we are still waiting for... I just need to go through my email, Chair, because I want to respond to exactly as they responded. Yesterday, they did send through the Damascus report, the final Vietnam report, and the liberation movement museum report, and then they indicated that they will be sending us other follow-up questions that were requested by the committee. But also, we are waiting for just one moment. The reports. I just want to tell you exactly because they did send us the reports. On the consequences, they did send us a report on the consequence management and the irregular expenditure, but they retracted their report and requested that we please hold off up until they resend us another report. So we're still waiting for the request that report that Mr. Mfungo is talking about. They did indicate this morning, Lulaba is in the meeting, she can respond as to why they haven't sent us that information.
Yes, I was going to say I wanted you to respond on the report that I've seen late yesterday, and then the department cannot respond. Let them tell us where are the reports that were asked that they must forward to us. Is DDG, acting DG with us today?
Thank you, Chair. I would also request my colleagues to come in, but what I'm certain about is the consequence management report sent to the committee, the report which was dealing with the first phase, second phase, and the beginning of the third phase was also submitted. And I would request Ms. Lula Mandabagulu to indicate some of the things that could be outstanding and some of the things that I might have left out, but they were submitted.
Thank you,
Thank you, Chairperson and Acting DG. The report that was sent, when we were presenting the annual report, we were supposed to send the annex that had the quotas that were implemented in the last financial year. So we sent that, and then we sent the status on consequence management for irregular expenditure. We then sent the report on the Resistance Liberation Museum benchmarking visit that was done to several countries. We also sent the first and second wave COVID relief, the second phase COVID relief funding report. One of the reports that we're supposed to send was the consultation meeting with the music sector. That one, we initially sent a report, but then it was found that it was very thin in terms of the issues that had been raised by the committee. So we sent it back to the colleagues in program two to revise that report so that we can send something that is more comprehensive. So they have promised that we will be getting that in the office of the DG today. So we will share that report as soon as we have received it. And then we also shared the NHC International TRIPS report that they have submitted to us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Lula. Honorable members.
Chairperson, it's Jabule. So I just want to check with the department whether we should share the consequent management report, because I was told to retract that. That's why we did not send that to members. We do have that report. I was told to hold off on that report. So if they're telling, they think the committee has got that, then it means that I must share this report that I do have.
That's what you have is the most updated report. The one that we had requested that you hold on to was the one on the music sector consultation.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Members, we've got one outstanding report out of 1, 2, 3, and 4. So, can members, yes, Honorable Minister.
Yeah, I think, let me try to ask the, it will be easy for Jabu and Zolega to have an annexure to say, this were the request, we've received this. And for us to say, this has been withdrawn, we don't have that. For example, I wanted to argue that I don't even have the most important issue consequence report, because it's all about us doing an oversight. They've been telling us, even the AG was telling us that they told him, but there's no evidence. Now what I'm saying, the annexure must follow after these minutes to say, these were the outstanding issues, we're waiting for these, only these were submitted. And then it's easy for us to track really outstanding issues that are going to be asked question about. First of all, the third phase, the relief phase. I don't have anything. I only saw in the media. To date, I don't have anything, but it has been submitted to Jabu, but We don't have it as a committee, or I don't have it as a committee member for the relief fund yet that phase. Now, let's have an amateur that will be able for us to get. If it's there, and members, for example, I'm the only one who did not receive it, but it's there, I'll ask and I'll get a response that it has been sent. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, we're in matters arising members, we must not take too long to respond. We're still going to have a discussion. What are you saying? I don't know what is this that is not easy that the members must respond. Honorable members, are you still in or you are out by the network?
Yeah, we're here, Honorable Chairperson.
Please, let's talk, man, Honorable Members. What do you say about the data?
Chairperson, I think Honorable Mklongo has made it clear as to how we can move on and, have Zoleka and Jabu to have the answer to say this is what is outstanding and what is going on. Yes, for sure, we've been waiting for information from the department and we haven't been getting it. And of course, I'm surprised that this relief fund is available, but we haven't been given. Anyway, can we move on? I would propose that we move on, Jeff. Thank you.
How do we move on? Can we say that until we have this, Anastas will adopt this minutes as true reflection? I want something like that.
Chair, I support your move that let's hold these minutes till we have the actual Anastas and we have the actual reports and then we'll approve the minutes. Thanks, Chair. I support your move.
Hello, Honourable Member. Honourable
speaking.
Okay.
What is outstanding is from matters arising, not so.
Yes.
And matters arising is different from minutes as a true reflection of what we discussed. The minutes will say, as a true reflection of what we discussed, we requested that the department to submit. But matters arising will say the department has submitted or not submitted. So matters arising will be reflected in today's minutes. So I would propose that we adopt the minutes as a true reflection. Then today's minutes will indicate that from matters arising, the following were outstanding and the following were received after the request of the portfolio committee. Because matters arising is an item different from adoption of minutes. Thanks, Chair. I'll therefore propose the adoption of minutes.
I'm seeing the hand of Honorable Song. Oh, you didn't lower your hand then.
Let me lower my hand.
Honorable members, I'm suspecting through our discussion in our minutes, we have a true reflection of what we discussed, but really, when we're in matters arising, we have an outstanding information. So can we agree with the Honorable Siabe?
Ms. Malumane's hand is up, Madam Chair.
Okay, I don't see it. Okay. Honorable Malumane, let me go to participants. Yes, Honorable Malumane.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to speak to have the same view with
Honorable Siyazi to say those are matters arising, they are not the minutes. So they are under matters arising from the minutes. So let me second Honorable Siyazi to say we move for the adoption of the minutes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members. The minutes are supported to be adopted, and we notice and we are saying that the outstanding information must, as today, forwarded to Honorable Members from the Department to our staff and our staff to the Honorable Members. They were closing by saying that. Thank you, Honorable Members. Let's go to point number 5, presentation by SASCOC.
Order, Chairperson.
Yes, yes. Sustain.
I think this is what we are complaining about in every meeting. There are judges that we cannot identify, and I don't know how they were allowed into the meeting by our host. Is the judge 804576? We don't know what is who's that person, because we can't have a person we cannot identify in a meeting. Can that person be identified first and see whether it's a relevant person to be in the meeting, or that person must rename the gadget, otherwise must be removed from the platform. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, host. Can host assist us? Or any visitors to tell us who's that?
Excuse me, Minister? Is that Madam Chair?
Yes, yes, sorry. Yes.
Shirley Noble, that is the number that I have locked in, title 4576.
But why is it not shown, Shirley? Once you're talking, is...
I know it's open. I really don't know.
Do we have our host accept our... Yes, Honorable Siyazi.
The person who's speaking says her name is Shirin.
Yes.
Is it? Gadget which identifies Shirin, but there's another gadget which is 804576.
Person? Yes, can you ask Zoe to remove the person, and then obviously that person will tell Zoe to accept it, and then we'll know the person's name. Can the host remove the person? Yes, I think I support the Honorable Knox. Let's remove the person because we don't know exactly. This is the third time these things are happening.
I've seen 804-76 left. It is just left without explaining.
I removed the
man. I've seen it. To our visitors, our guests, this is Parliament of South Africa. We are doing these virtual meetings through rules. Somebody who's supposed to be in here is the one who's invited. Those who are not invited, they can check other channels, not this one. So we are very strict because really, the Parliament has put the rules, how do we conduct virtual meetings.
Thank you so much, President of Fresco.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I may ask the acting CEO to start the Fresco presentation, please.
Thank you, President. Once again, good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, to all the executives and officials in attendance. Good morning, greetings, all protocols observed.
Where are you? Your face and then switch off your video if it's going to disturb you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would also, you've met the board of SASCOG, but I'd also like to introduce my colleagues from management. It's myself as the acting CEO, my colleague, Mr. Spatial Chikwambana, who's the chief operations officer, and my colleague, Leon Fleischer, who is leading the high performance department in SASCOG. Can I ask the Secretariat to please put up the presentation that was emailed?
Our Secretariat?
Yes, I emailed the presentation to her.
So, Andy Jabu.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, as per the invitation, thank you, we'll just pause there. As per the invitation, no, back up please, thank you. One more, thank you. Madam Chair, as per the invitation, we have been invited today to Portfolio Committee to present on the road to Tokyo and all the activities that we have been busy so far with in terms of our delivery of Team SA to the Tokyo Games in July 2021. Next slide, please. Madam Chair, I will present a high-level overview in no more than 3 slides and then hand over to one of my colleagues. Just as a background and for purposes of bringing us together, we know that the pandemic has caused the games in Tokyo to be postponed. The games are now scheduled to be held from the 23rd of July to 8th August for the Olympics and for the Paralympics from the 24th of August to 5th of September. Madam Chair, with the impact of the pandemic, it's going to be a very different type of games, and as we get information coming through from Tokyo, the layout of the athletes' village and the playing venues and the crowd are very different to what we've been used to in the past. In fact, we have been informed that we will have a very reduced audience, if any audience, at some of the games. What is important to note is all the athletes that have been preparing for the postponed games from July last year remain qualified to participate in these postponed games. And all the slots that have been achieved by our country will remain valid. We have requested all our national federations to update us with revised qualifications and preparations for the games. It must be remembered, Madam Chair, that the NFs are responsible for preparing the athletes in line with their IF requirements, and it's SASCOG that will deliver the team. As far as the team is concerned, Madam Chair, the selection criteria and eligibility criteria was adopted by SASCOG at its membership meeting in June 2019. These policies enabled us, or these resolutions enabled us, to tighten sport-specific policies. It made the selection more stringent. It was selection criteria that is more stringent than that normally set out by the International Federations and IOC. The purpose of that was to ensure that we take our podium winners, the best of the best, to represent us. We reduce the team size to curtail costs and other logistics that
to enable a more effective and efficient team delivery. This reduced, or rather more stringent, qualification criteria impacted on the main qualifications insofar as the continental slots were concerned. As a result of that, the membership then resolved in November 2019 that this policy and these selection criteria must be changed. In other words, they must be reduced and they must be aligned with the International Federation policies and the IOC policies. Madam Chair, the result of that is that we have a lot more athletes qualified and hence a bigger team size. Next slide, please. Madam Chair, during the preparation process, there are some key elements that need to be complied with. These are items that we have to report back to Tokyo on. These include ensuring that we have an MOU between ourselves as the team delivery arm and our national federations who are responsible for our athletes. The IOC and IPC is very stringent about spokesperson policies, and there were certain terms and conditions that we need to comply with and adhere to, and that document was signed. We also have to have an athlete official and team membership agreement as the macro body representing our country. We have signed those agreements and will comply with those requirements. Some of the more game-specific regulations that we are obliged to sign to ensure that we qualify for entry into the games. They are a playbook which has detailed protocols in terms of how we deliver our athletes and generally athlete response to the games rules and regulations. The IOC and IPC have taken a very, very, very tough view on manipulation of competitions and betting in sports with the related issue of taking bribes. There is a no compromise attitude towards this to ensure that the spirit of Olympism and sport prevails over any other human behavior that causes these games to be manipulated. There is also what we call the Rule 40, the IOC's Rule 40, and it's largely around branding and in terms of how we respond to official sponsors for the IOC and especially branding rights of the IOC and IPC, particularly within the competition venues. And lastly, Chairperson, another important document was the eligibility form, which all accredited individuals have to sign. So, Madam Chair, in terms of our governance with regards to the contracts and various agreements, we are all compliant and have met the requirements. Madam Chair, at this point, I would like to hand over to my colleague from the High Performance Department who will lead us through some of the technical detail, starting off with the team size. Leon, if you may, please.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Good morning, Madam Chair, and to all honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, to the SASCOC President and Board members, as well as to the ASA President and Board members. Thanks very much. So just looking at our estimated team size going towards Tokyo, for the Olympic team, we're looking at a possible team size between athletes and officials of 303, and for the estimated team size for Paralympics, between athletes and officials, 71. So possible, go to the next slide, please. So as of 8 February, and this is the most up-to-date qualification that we have from both IOC and IPC, we have 135 athletes qualified for Olympics, and we have 18 slots qualified for Paralympics at this stage. And obviously, qualification is ongoing up until the 5th of July for Olympics and up until 2 August for Paralympics. Next slide, please. our projected demographics going forward to these games. We're looking at on the Olympic side at 61.5 to 38% male, female. If you can go slightly down, please. And a 41% to 59% racial demographic. On the Paralympics, we're looking at a 60-40 male-female split and a 39-61 demographic split. Next slide, please. That one, I think. So one of the things that the acting CEO mentioned is the playbook. And the playbook is something new that's been released. It basically covers the COVID protocols, policies, and procedures for everybody going to the game. So there's different playbooks for the different population groups. Our main population group is athletes and officials. So this playbook was released on the 5th of February. It covers what we have to do before travel, entering Japan, during the games, leaving Japan, people that are vaccinated, and compliance and sanctions for people that don't listen or don't adhere to the playbook. It must be noted that the IOC, IPC in Tokyo 2020 have repeatedly said that the vaccine is not mandatory to participate in the games, and also that people, frontline people must get vaccinated way before athletes do. However, they would like the team to be vaccinated if possible, and we are dealing with the department on this process. So according to the playbook, all team members 14 days before entering Japan have to start taking note of their temperature. They've got to start self-isolating to as much point as they can. 72 hours before we go, we have to all have PCR tests, as well as having a PCR test when we land in Japan. They're actually developing an app, and that app will be used for everybody from 14 days before departing to Japan. We will also be employing a COVID compliance officer, and this compliance officer would look after and be the main contact on all COVID-related issues between us, the IOC, the IPC, and Tokyo 2020. This playbook is also a living document, and a new version will be published in April 2021. Next slide, please. We've applied to the National Lotteries Commission for funding to be allocated via the Sports Trust, and this has been approved, and it's for possible Olympic and Paralympic medal athletes, and we are currently implementing this, and it'll be backdated to October 2020. So a big thank you to the NRC and the Sports Trust for that. We've been dealing constantly with the national federations to ensure that all possible people that will attend the games are accredited and on the accreditation system by deadline and by due date, to ensure that we don't fall foul of any of our obligations to the organizing committee. We've also circulated a team monitoring register to all national federations to populate. That will give us a snapshot on tracking and monitoring their preparation and or qualification and injury status, just so our medical team can intervene if necessary. We're also looking at holding a pre-games quarantine camp decentralized, and are busy dealing with the national federations to indicate their preferred high-performance centers so we can negotiate with those high-performance centers to assist us in doing a bio-bubble before the athletes and team members leave for Japan. Even though those athlete preparation is the mandate of the national federations, we still engage with national federations to see the progress on qualification, preparation, and where possible to provide assistance and guidance. All our athletes and team officials will be going through medical screening, and that's a full medical screening. The athletes go through what's called a periodic health evaluation, which is guided by the International Olympic Committee, to ensure our athletes are fit and healthy when they get to Japan. All athletes and team officials also have to complete the World Anti-Doping Agency e-learning course, and that's very important to ensure that they're understanding the doping guidelines for athletes and officials. And they'll also be completing SASCOC safeguarding course. As you know, there's been a lot of things in the news lately of safeguarding issues, and we want to ensure that our athletes understand their rights and responsibilities about being abused and anything like that. We've just had a series of webinars with Northwest University covering mental health and well-being, and this will also carry on for another month, and it was offered to all Olympic and Paralympic team members. We need daily communication with all our stakeholders, that's from government to Tokyo 2020, IOC and IPC. Next slide, please. A big help, really, and a big thank you must go to the our embassy in Japan, and the Honorable Ambassador Matsunyama has really ensured that his staff have been assisting us, and obviously with the travel ban, they've been attending meetings on our behalf and keeping us up to date. So a big thank you to the embassy in Japan. A lot of the Schefter Mission meetings are now webinars, and they're constant. And the Schefter Mission for the Olympic Games, which basically Kumbana and myself for the Paralympic Games, constantly attend the Schefter Mission webinars to keep up to date with what's going on. There was also a big medical webinar in January, and our chief medical officers for both games attended that and updated us accordingly. Next slide, please. In terms of our preparation budget, this is not for us, it was more the federations, and this is what they would probably need, or definitely need to get to the games. So, to go a little bit lower, please. So the Olympic Federation's probably around 12.5 million rand to assist them in preparation, and the Paralympics was just over 2.8 million, what they would need to prepare the athletes. Just to say that this is a very different games and very hard to allow our athletes to compete on an equal footing with athletes around the world, because some of them are really in competition in Europe, where a lot of our athletes have not been able to compete or prepare properly due to the current regulations. Next slide, please. In terms of the budget, these budgets were done accordingly and submitted to the National Lotteries Commission. You can go to the second page, please. Go all the way down to the bottom, please. So for Olympics, we're looking at a 44 million rand delivery budget. And if you can go two more pages, please, for the Paralympic budget. And we're looking at 17 million rand for a Paralympic team delivery budget. Next slide, please. As I said, these budgets are part of our NLC application, but there's a number of factors that can now be considered that can alleviate these budgets. The estimated team size is reducing. We are busy finalizing and concluding our clothing sponsor, and that will be announced next week. And that takes a big chunk out of the budget. We receive a travel grant from Tokyo 2020 for both Olympic and Paralympic Games, and we have a number of potential sponsors that are coming on board. So we expect those budgets to reduce dramatically. Just in terms of projected performance, possible medals at the Olympic Games, we're looking at athletics, and they're present at the possibility of 5 medals. Please note that also includes Caster if she's successful with her appeal at the Swiss courts. Cycling 2, swimming 2, golf 1, rowing 1, rugby 1, and triathlon 1. And possible medals for Paralympic Games is Paraathletics 14, cycling 3, swimming 1, and wheelchair tennis 1. Next slide, please. Just in terms of our key dates, we're guided by Tokyo 2020, and we're almost project managed by them, and we make sure that we keep in line with all the agreed dates, especially on accreditation, because if you're not on the accreditation system by deadline, you cannot attend the games. So this is just for reference, our key dates for the Olympic Games, and the next page is the key date for the Paralympic Games, and we make sure that we adhere to all that, and we work our project plans of these key dates given to us by the organizing committee. Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson, and we are open for questions.
Thank you so much. On that, I remember I wanted that let's give the president of Athletic South Africa in order that we must discuss those presentation jointly, if you don't mind.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and to the honourable members, the leadership of SASCOC and ASA leadership, staff of SASCOC and the department as well as ASA. Can I request Ms. Kula to flight what we sent to her? Thank you very much. Madam Chair, our mandate is very simple and our request
just a moment. I'm seeing the hand of Honorable Mhlong. It's up.
Chairperson, I wanted to raise that SASCOC and SAA, those are two different entities and our federation, so to say. I wanted, but because you already started, I wanted us to ask SASCOC question directly before we go to ASA. But nonetheless, it's your ruling, Chair, but that was my suggestion. But I'm late because I don't recognize my hands late.
Yes, I didn't open that area of participation. I'm sorry about that. I was thinking that when we are asking questions, we'll be comparing the notes because they are all responsible of the upgrades. I'm sorry about that, Honorable Mhlong.
Okay, Chair.
Okay, President.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Can I request Ms. Kula to go back to the first slide? Yes, thank you. Madam Chair, in line with our mandate as the National Federation, we are expected to do the primary staff on behalf of the Olympic Committee of this country. And the primary staff is to prepare athletes and make them ready before they are finally nominated and selected and sent to the Olympic Games. So we have created a vision as the ASA, and our vision is to provide an adequate support structure to enable SA athletes to develop to their full potential in their preparation for the 2020 Olympics taking place in 2021. That is our mission. And our mission is to holistically support the athletes in their preparation, Madam Chair, for the Olympics and to ensure that athletes deliver career best performances. And our mission will focus on the following. One, as you know, that Olympics is about track and field and rope running, marathon in particular for men and women, as well as race walking for men and women. We will focus in that. Yes, proceed, ma'am. Well, just a background. The 2020 Olympic Games taking place in 2021 will be the 8th Olympic Games that ASA will be preparing for. Experience gained during preparation for the 1992-96-2000 right up to 2016 will be utilized to prepare for Tokyo 2020 and beyond. And in between these, Madam Chair, we have prepared for World Championships for Athletics, Commonwealth Games, All Africa Games, and all other events that are taking place. To utilize this experience to its full extent, ASA will provide a support structure in collaboration with SASCOC to assist our athletes in their preparation for the Olympic Games. This initiative will be called Tokyo 2021 and beyond.
we are torn between the 2020 and 2021. Almost one is the same thing. Coming to introduction, Chair, athletics is a challenging sport to work with due to the multiple disciplines that athletes are participating in. In fact, there are 14 different disciplines, which in essence is 14 different sporting codes within athletics. Therefore, preparation and support to reach excellence must be discipline specific. And that's what we are experts in as athletics. Athletics is potentially the sport where South Africa can win the most medals. At the 2021 Olympics, Mr. Leon Fletcher from SASCOC, we have seen in his assumptions that ASA will or may bring up to 5 years. Well, the ASA objective is to raise the standards of the athletics, of the athletes' competency at the 2021 Games in order to reach our goals. And our goals are always simple, Madam Chair and colleagues, is to go there, fly the flag of the Republic of South Africa, make sure that our national anthem is sung, not on the side, but on the podium where it matters most. And the only time that your national anthem could be sung at the Olympics or any other major event is when your athlete achieves the best position in simple terms, the gold medal. And our milestones are as follows as reflected. 1992 in our first Olympic, one medal, 96 two medals, three medals in 2000, 2004 two medals, 2008 one medal, 2012 one medal, and 2016 we won four medals, which was the highest. When the 2020 Olympic we are not going to say how many medals are going to win because we don't believe in counting the chickens before they are hatched. But also that is the responsibility of SASCOC leadership to tell the nation how many medals they think we are going to win. I think Ms. Kula, you jumped a bit. Okay, thank you. And yes, then what is our goal? It's simple to improve previous Olympic medals, improve both gold, silver, and bronze, as well as the semi-finalists and the finalists. We want to increase that, Madam Chair, so that we can be able to come with a different ranking, better ranking than the previous Olympics, which was number 5 in the athletics competition at the Olympics when we are compared with all the nations that participated. Yes, next slide, please. And how are we going to achieve all these things? One of the most important things is to increase the pool of medal potentials. Those athletes that we believe can be able to win medals, they need to be part of the preparation slot. And I just want for a moment, Madam Chair, to give to our Olympian, the 1996 silver medalist, Mr. Ezekiel Sefeng, who is working for ASA as an excellence manager, to deal with this item, then I'll take over. Then my other colleagues, I will also ask them to come through. Thank you. Mr. Sefeng. Madam Chair,
yes.
I'm calling Mr. Sabenga. I saw him. He's in office with my colleagues. I don't know whether we are still having them. Madam Kula, can you help us? ASA, that is Jess and Dora. Yes. Yes, Sabenga.
Yes. Thank you very much, Kosana. Thanks, Madam Chair. For this opportunity, as the president has already gone through the presentation, now we're getting into how are we going to get those medals by increasing the pool of medals
mean that all the athletes that are ranked in the top 30 that is on the World Athletics rankings, and the athletes that are in our Olympic squad should be part of our support structure. That the support structure, I mean the one we're working with, SASCO. Who are those athletes that are in the top 30 for the 2020 world rankings? We have the list there, and also the rankings on the sites. As you see, there's Antonio Aldana in 110. Ellis, his time is already qualified for the Olympic Games. And also in our support structure, we have about three types of support that we have at the moment. We have the ANOCA support structure that is being done by SASCO. Then we have RSA support structure which is in the process, so the athletes can get the support from there. And SSA also developed the support structure for the athletes. We can go to the next one, please. Those are the athletes. These athletes, they are marathon athletes. They are not ranking in the top 30, but they have automatically qualified for the Olympic Games. And as you can see, that they are also part of the ANOCA, which is from SASCO, as the support. Next one. Then on this list, we have the athletes that are not in the top 30. That I just mentioned above, but they form part of the Athletic South Africa squad. That's the Olympic squad, and also in their demographics. So you can see those athletes did not qualify, as we know that last year competitions were cancelled due to the coronavirus pandemic. We had about 12 athletes that has made the qualifying before the closing date of athletics, which was around about in April. So other athletes are still to qualify, and as the competitions are open, so we're looking forward for them to do the qualifying before the closing date for qualification. The next one. Included in that squad, we have our relay squads. As you know that in 2019, South Africa has done very well in our 4x1 relays, so we are in the process of improving and introducing the relays to South Africa, so that's the spot that is selected for the relays, and we're planning few competitions for them. At this point, what we have is the only 4x1 for men has qualified for the Olympic Games. Other relays, they still have to qualify. The next one, please. This forms also part of the relays. The 4x4 mixed relays, they have not qualified also yet. So we're looking forward for this season before the closing date so they can qualify. Opportunity has been created for them. And they are hoping that they will do the qualification. Next one, please. Our strategy. In 2019, we revised our 2020 squad after the 2019 international track and field season and prepared the squad for the 2020. So due to the COVID again, the season was shortcut. But we had to revise our squad again in 2020 for this year Olympic Games after the track and field season to prepare them for the 2021 Olympic Games. Next, our operation plan identified the 2021 Olympic squad in November 2020 and monitor their progress. So due to the COVID-19, the selected squad that was selected actually in 2019, we had to revise because most of the competition were cancelled. So we revised the squad from the 2019. The short-term preparation plan, our season started in South Africa from January to April 2021. Then in April we have our national champs, which is, in this term we can call it our Olympic trials. In May we have a World Relay Challenge, which will be in Europe, in Poland. That's the opportunity for our relay squads to qualify for Olympic Games. Then from there, athletes will move to different competitions in Europe, which you call it Diamond Leagues and other small meetings in Europe. Then in June, we have our African Champs, which will be in Algeria, and it will also form part of our preparation for the Olympic Games. So from July to August 2021, we will have Olympic Games here. That's right. Progress report. Athletes and coaches will submit their training plan and goals to ASA, and ASA will facilitate the 2021 squad to ensure that athletes and coaches perform according to their goals. And we will also do that one-on-one basis to the athletes. We've already started our engagement with the athletes. The first meeting that we had on the 30th of January, we had a meeting with our relay athletes. Training one-on-one, we've seen that due to the pandemic, some of the one-on-one meetings are done virtually because we couldn't meet the athletes, and we will continue to lead up to the Olympic Games. Our relay training camp, on the 20th, we had a 4x1 relay training camp that was held in Pretoria, Turkish, and we are planning another training camp for the 4x4, which is coming on the 6th of March, and leading towards the World Relays in Poland. Our competition fixture was here.
Sorry, Madam Chair, can we ask Mr. Sepeng to add there so that they can give the people responsible for the competition picture? Can I ask Mr. Peter and Mr. James Moloi, one is the chairperson, and the other one is a road running, to share how are we going to use this picture to maximize the preparedness of our athletes? Peter, then after Peter, Mr. James Moloi, chairperson of the club.
Thank you, President. Let me take this opportunity to welcome our minister. He is with us. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair. You see the competition pictures on the screen here, right? Due to COVID last year, we didn't have our national competitions. The second Field Commission decided that this year, 2020, we will have the national championships on the same date. We're also going to have provincial meetings. It means that different federations in the 17 provinces send in their competitions, which will then give opportunity for our athletes to compete in those competitions also. Then we will have two competitions where most of the southern region athletes, our neighboring countries, will also compete. And those competitions will take place on the 20th and the 22nd of March at Ramsdorff. So we are well prepared, and thank you, folks. Thank you for allowing us to share with you our features and preparation of our athletes for the Olympic Games. Thanks a lot.
So, Captain?
Honorable Sir, point of order, Chair, apology to disturb the presentation. I can see again we have the person name 804576 is back on the meeting.
804576. Member, I just spoke to the person. She's the chief of staff in the D department. She will identify herself. I've spoken to her on the side.
Chief of Staff in the department. Her name is Oya.
Yes. Oh, Ms. Tosimozi.
Do you know that person? Because last time he just vanished when we asked his or her identification. Can you assist us? Anyone from the department who's responsible for the staff who are in this virtual meeting?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Honourable Minister.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Minister, and Honourable Members. It's me, Toximusi. I was kicked out when I joined the meeting. My gadget gave the name Toximusi, and it changed to the passcode, which I was not aware.
Yes, but the only problem that you made, you were supposed to clarify because they charged you out because you didn't say anything. They were going to correct if you did tell what is the problem. Thank you for that clarification. Okay. Let's keep it on with our presentation.
Madam Chair, to give me the road running, the marathon and the race walk, how to get athletes, how many athletes do we have? Do we still hope to get other athletes and all that? Thomas.
Okay, Mr. President. Thank you, Chair. I need to change the chairman of road running. You know very well that from the road running side, there are three men that are already qualified for Olympics. Now, by the present moment, we are still going to give other athletes an opportunity to qualify. But up to so far, we still have three that have already qualified. You know very well that you need three men and three women to qualify for the Olympics. Already, for three men that have already qualified, but we still open for other members to go and compete. And then you've got one lady. And can't sustain, but she's already qualified, but they're still going to allow ladies to qualify. In the first of May, we've got the competition, South African competition that's going to take place in unfortunately by the great by all the athletes coming from all over South Africa, they're going to compete among themselves. But we have asked those athletes that are already qualified to go and compete in those events so that we can check their fitnesses up so far. And then immediately after 1st of May, whereby we are going to select a very, very strong team, we will go further again and give plus minus three athletes. We will send them to Switzerland to go and compete in Switzerland because there's a big event in Switzerland that's taking place in Switzerland. So we will give other members to go and qualify in Switzerland for the Olympics. And then immediately after the Olympics in May, we will have those athletes that have already qualified, we'll have a meeting with them. And give them, then ask them their plan, they must give them their plan together with their coaches, how they're going to play. In marathons, you must prepare for 3 months prior to the competition. In May, we will sit down and have a plan, and then we'll have a training camp starting from May till after the competition. They will stay together, they will train together. Immediately after the competition, the camps, they will go straight to the competition in Tokyo. So it's how they busy our preparation in marathons. But after so far, we are ready, and then I'm
aging with you that marathon athletes are going to be a very strong team.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, Madam Chair. And other issues, Madam Chair, that we need to ponder with SASCOC and the government is the issue of travel restrictions that have been imposed to South Africans, and I'm sure we all saw what happened with Kaizer Chiefs and the Sundowns when they're supposed to go to North Africa. They could not leave the borders because of the fear of the COVID-19 strain or variant that is in South Africa. So with all our plans, they will only be implementable depending on the global
borders and countries allowing South Africans to go to wherever they are supposed to go. We are saying athletes should go to Diamond League, but you may find that South Africans are not allowed to enter France, are not allowed to enter England, as England is not allowed to enter some of the countries like USA and all that. And we want to say that we will be working more on making opportunities at home for our South African athletes to prepare and stay longer with their coaches if the international season or second is not opened, especially the Northern Hemisphere from 1st of May right up to the Olympics. The other issue, Chair, that we want to clarify is that there are issues that we need to deal with also that are informed by the levels of COVID-19 lockdown. At times, some of our municipal infrastructure are not open for our athletes, even our elite athletes. But I think we have managed in one way or the other to talk through the cities, small municipalities and medium municipalities to allow some individual athletes and coaches to be able to train and convert. The other part that Mr. Leon Fletcher spoke about is the CASTA Semenya matter. CASTA is not finally included in our squad because of the ongoing legal challenge between ASA and the World Athletics, and the matter is going to European Court of Human Rights, and I think by March we would have filed those papers, and we hope that the European Court of Human Rights, with the support of the United Nations, which has given guidelines to the Welsh Athletics, will be able to win this matter. It's a matter that we need not to drop, and thanks to the government, thanks to the Polo Committee for giving the support in 2019, and thanks to the Minister TT for also giving the support in 2019 and 2020 and the ongoing support on this matter. It's a matter, as I said, that we dare not drop because it's a human right. If South Africa drops it, there is nobody else who will be able to take it. And we also want to say, Chair, that when we challenged the World Athletics on this matter in 2019, we were supported by quite a number of countries, some European countries, especially Sweden became our strongest partner. And the World Athletics has established a human rights working group for World Athletics, and South Africa and Sweden is represented on that. And in fact, all the continents have got one person who is sitting in that. You are drawing the guidelines and looking at the constitution of the World Athletics to change, to cater for all the dynamics and the diversities that we have in terms of gender in the world. And we also wish to say, Chairperson, thanks to the Minister and the Department for allocating 500,000 as part of the relief, if I'm using the correct terminology, that is going to be used to assist the ASA to prepare athletes. That's why you saw there is OPEC, there is ANOCA, and there is ASA, RSA, or Department of Sports and Recreation. That will be used effectively to assist those athletes who are not in OPEX or not in ANOCA to be able to see physios, to be able to see psychologists, to travel to competitions, to do whatever they have agreed upon with the excellence manager at ASA. Sadly, it is not sufficient, but we understand that around this time there is nobody who is having enough for all what we need, but to a grateful Honourable Minister for the 500,000. It will go a long way, make a lot of difference. But if there is another 100,000, we'll appreciate to have that.
And finally, on my side, Madam Chair, the issue of selection criteria, I just want to clarify this. We had quite a number of views about this. ASA is using a very stringent criteria that is informed by NOC, which is SASCOC, the World Athletics and Olympic Committee. Our criteria is simple, that you must be able to qualify according to the IOC World Athletics Standard, that is universal, in order for you to be included as a male or a female. If you have not met that standard, you will not be part of the team or the squad that will submit to SASCOC. And there will be three athletes per event, male and female in the 100 meters or any of the disciplines. And that's what the world is saying, that's what the IOC is saying. And we know that in some instances, the World Athletics, working with the IOC, will be able to request South Africa to say, for an example, in the 100 meters, South Africa, you have got two men or two women who qualify, who did not qualify, but they are close. Naturally, for an example, which I cite for an example, the Olympic and the World Athletics will need 56 athletes.
Try to summarize, President.
Yes, I'm summarizing, Chair. So if in that case, SASCOC policy is clear that all those athletes that will be requested to join the IOC or the World Athletics, they will not be, if they have not qualified. But in the past, we have had experience where the World Athletics says, we will pay for these athletes, we'll transport them, and we'll accommodate them and all that. But we'll deal with that with the Olympic Committee and the World Governing Body. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm sorry to pressurize you. I wanted that members must have enough time to engage the two presentations. Also, I've indicated that the minister joined us, like you, Honorable Mhlongo, the minister at 12 having special cabinet meeting. So can now give it to the members to interact with the two presentation. The hand of Honorable Mhlongo has been here. It didn't take it down. No, listen, I'm not yet finished. Your hand has been up since then. So I must ask whether is it up, because you didn't put it down. So Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Mashingosi, Honorable Mamabulo, Honorable Veronica, Honorable Silis, in that order. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Dennis Joseph, Chairperson. I've gone to raise my hand. Thank you.
Oh, Honorable Dennis. Honorable Silis, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I
raised my hand, Chairperson, before.
Just a moment, Honorable Members, Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Mashingos, Honorable Veronica, Honorable Sibis, Honorable Dennis, Honorable Malomani, Honorable Makaula. Thank you. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable.
Chair, we welcome both presentation and the President Babu Skhosana. I think he it's a side. Even the committee supported CASTA. I want you to note that there was a motion in Parliament. There was a letter from our Chairperson on our behalf, which we support CASTA with the issue. I think it must be noted. And I wanted to highlight one of the things and the concern, and I note that automatically the board was elected, but the stand of the committee was those elections are not going to be free and fair. I think it's still our stand, because we did not review our standpoint for those elections. And one thing that I want to make an example and observation,
we have a person who was there trying to be call himself a media guy by the name of Tondisa. He's now a board member. We questioned that, you see. He came to our meeting at that time. He wanted to become a journalist at that time, but today he's a board member. Now we question the free and flow of the election. We're still saying that even to date, noting that the minister was mum on the election status or the AGM, so to say, of SASCO. But nonetheless, Chair, my question is, why is the NLC supporting or the funding from NLC its channel through Sports Trust? Can I get an understanding why? And how much is the amount from NLC and how many sponsorships signed both in kind and in cash? Can we have the actual figures? What are the details of each cash and can I get that in kind? When are we going to start, or when is SASCO going to start the OPEX again? And I wanted to find out the sponsorship, is it excluding the identified post or the based on the new board election? Another issue that I wanted to find out, as I've stated clearly, Obabu Ukondisa was a consultant from SASCO at that time. Is he still a consultant? And what is the status quo of the unauthorized and abuse of SASCO card today regarding Obabu Ngwenya, SASCO? Another issue regarding criteria. I think, Chair, it's high time SASCO must tell us the so-called election or elected, but luckily we have old member who president. What is the status of Zulman implementation, especially on the criteria? Because the recommendation was saying the board members, and when are you going to implement those Zulman recommendations? Because the board members was considering that we must have a top five. For example, football, netball, rugby, athletic, and cricket are not part of this board. And when are we going to implement the recommendation, yes, Zulman? And the status quo. So I wanted to find out that if the presentation is here, SASCO is saying they're going to send plus minus 219 athletes, but the medals package is less. What is the cost? Why do we send more manpower, but the target or the performance or the strategy behind the target, it's less medal? What is this all about? Can I get an explanation exactly? And another example of budget, I wanted to find out, why do we have separation of budget like 12 and a half million for athletes, and another one was 2 million plus for paramedics, which is, why do we have those budgets separated? Can I get an explanation on that? May I ask, can we in future, maybe I know they don't have it, can we share those policies? You stated clearly that the policies like the player's book, can we have that as a committee for us to understand exactly what is happening? I think for now, Chair, I'll have a follow-up question on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. We have raised your 10 questions within that 3 minutes. The next Honorable Member is Honorable Mashingosi.
Thank you, Chair. I also welcome the presentation by both organizations. And I must also reiterate that Casper Semenya is ours and we will be behind her all the way, no matter what. My concern first is the date of that is scheduled for the Olympic Games, the 23rd of July to the 8th of August, meaning like it could be like realistically, it should be only 2 months before the local government election. I don't know how we are going to be doing that. To the questions about our sovereignty, I'm asking, SASCO, have you ever thought of introducing African sporting codes like stick fighting into the Olympic arena? What could be the reason for you not to do that? And if you have, since 1992, don't you need to introduce the country's identity instead of, just into other countries, games? And
The third question is, in South Africa, we have soccer and football as the biggest sport. Why is the budget allocated to it less than the hockey, which is mainly operational in excluded and mainly in white school? I mean, football is 1,125,000 and hockey is 1,800,000. How can you explain that? What does that say? What does that say about the representation of our country? Chair, I want to find out if boxing is also included in the Olympics, because I have seen nothing about boxing. And if yes, what was the boxing's answer to PESCO when they would supposedly ask if they were coming to you or whatever, or, you know, whatever criteria they could have had to be able to be accepted. So if there is boxing, why are they not there? I'm confused about the people who will be traveling to Tokyo. Does it mean that South Africa is 180 people within the country and 355 from without? I want to find out who are those people outside. Like, so all in all, I'll count this something like 535 people. I don't know what that means. And who are these international athletes and officials? And who are the local athletes and officials? And if you can have, and if you can be given the names and what they do before the deadline date of the 26th of March. For now, Chair, I will stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashingo. The next honorable member is Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is, thank you also for the presentation. My first question is to ASA, Athletics South Africa. At this stage, schools may not compete with each other, but well, they may in-house. Now, according to ASA, athletes must be registered with a club to be able to compete and consider representing South Africa on any level. Schools in rural areas might not be able to register with an athlete club. So is what ASA is saying is that disadvantaged children will be in future being excluded because it costs time and money to register a club, so many schools might not have the money, and also some of them might not have the information about clubs and licenses, and that is why they depend on school sports. So how will ASA ensure that children who do not belong to a club will still be included to have the opportunity to compete for South Africa? And then also I want to just confirm, will only athletes that participate through ASA be considered to represent South Africa international or any competitions in Africa? The other question, I just want to take clarity on the qualifying time of the people that is now included. How did you choose the times if they could not participate? Or was this, when were these times, when were they achieved or set? With regards to also SASCA plans on sending the largest team in South African history to the Olympic Games this year, I want to know if this is a reflection of more athletes qualifying for the Games or qualifying standards being lowered to accommodate more athletes. How were these athletes chosen, taking the COVID regulations in consideration? And then maybe the last question is, what help has SASCA been providing to give extra support to the elite athletes and medal hopefuls during the challenging times of lockdown? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Veronica, Honorable Stevens.
Michael Chaplin, thank you. And also, I would like to greet the members and the Honorable Minister. Thanks to SASCOC and ASA for presentation. One would like to check, since we have also put their strategy of how they want to perform and they are made as possibilities. But I'm a little bit worried, Madam Chairperson. Out of 31 sporting codes, they've only identified 7 as possible that will give them measures. Now, what can they do to motivate and encourage other sporting codes to do more in terms of even at least reaching the semi-finalist or the finalist? Because now, when you look at the total number of budgets that will be allocated for these games, I mean, only suggesting that it is only the seven sporting codes that is possible to deliver medals. So why, what is the need of having 31 sporting codes knowing very well that they are just going there to reach the return? I mean, it's level of Olympics. There is no space for learning. The space for learning is only available at developmental level. So that would mean SASCOC together with national federations, you must try to do more. And also, it's a bit worrying because out of those possible medals, football is not made. So it means we're just taking football to go there and enjoy themselves, or is it a learning camp? What is it that SASCOC can do and speaks to federation like SAFA to put more emphasis and to encourage those young women and boys to do more, or at least in terms of participation in football should be at the level of reaching the semi-finals and everything. And to the ASA president, thanks for bringing the case of, for updating us with the case of what is happening with CASTA. We hope that it will go well as you all wish. But again, President, even you yourself and your organization, you need to do more. When you check the number of athletes that have qualified, looking at the number of youth we have in South Africa, we suggest that ASA to do more in terms of developing athletics in our country, so that in future we will not run dry of athletes that will participate. I mean, when you look at the road running and marathon, it's where that we should expand, it's where we should do more. So at least try to put more effort on road running and marathon. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Smith. Honorable Mama Mulo.
The president of ASA is saying they have, they are appealing the matter sometime in March. I'm trying to check because the Olympics are starting in July. I'm trying to check if they can't. They say have maybe in the meantime to train for other meters, like maybe 1,500. I know all of us will about there for the 800-meter challenge, but can't you train for the other meters so that the meters can be included in the team? The other issue is related to the preparations. You spoke about different sporting codes. This one is related to the what you call the last call. We have the South African men's soccer under 23 there. They previously called Amadou Group. I don't know what they're called now. They're part of your team. Did you check their preparations as to how far they are and so on? Because I know that their opponents, the likes of England, will be bringing very powerful teams there. The likes of your J.C. Lingard and Marcus Rashford. France will be bringing the likes of Kylian Mbappe and so on. So it's going to be very, very late. I'm trying to check if you are able to communicate with other federations like yourself and so on. And also, the issue of the team of this under, the issue of the under 23 team, is SAFA funding them or are they getting money from SASCO? Last but not least, the issue of audience at the Olympics. When you are speaking to the IOC, I don't think they're going to allow audience, the supporters, the issue of vaccination as well. And I'm just going to be forced to vaccinate because I know in our country, people are not forced to be vaccinated. I'm not sure how athletes when they enter Tokyo. I don't know the rules of Tokyo or of the Japanese government. I'm trying to check. Are they going to force people to be vaccinated, especially our athletes?
The next question is Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I would like to ask what efforts, what plans, what programs are in place to generate interest in the Olympics here in South Africa whilst we are preparing? Is it only the TV or the news or the papers? I just want to know what is happening in South Africa just to generate interest in various sports codes while we are preparing. I also would like just to follow on what other speakers have said. I've heard a few times possible teams, the best of the best. And a criteria I've heard was in line with IOC and SASCOC standards. But the question must be asked, the development of sports, the academies for previous disadvantaged communities and groups. As I've heard, one member said many people or athletes do not have even the money to register at a club, but they could be possible candidates. And that, I'm sure it's for another day to hear what's happening in the, under the development of various sports codes. Question, Chairperson, I would like to know, I've heard also the member speaks about, I've heard in the presentation the 14 days prep before the event, but arriving in Japan, my question is the lockdown, current lockdown procedures that even may change, are there any cost factors there? And is it included in the budget if people have to, if they get there at least, they then have to isolate, stay in other accommodation? Is that part of the cost factor? Because I don't see, I couldn't pick up on the, one of the items in, as far as the cost is concerned. And then my last question, Chairperson, I've heard a slight contradictory statement from I think it's the President Barry Hendricks under the SASCO, and at the end when someone gave a comment under the budget, what I've heard in the beginning was there's bigger teams, more athletes going, and under the budget I've heard there's reduced teams. I just need clarity on that. Maybe I've heard, understand it incorrectly, but that is what I've heard. That is, it's an increase of athletes, but at the end of it, under budget, there's reduced teams. I would like to get an answer on that. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity to ask.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis. The next person is Honorable Makaula. After that, is going to be Honorable Malomana.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Ngilibele Nonke.
I greet you all.
Thank you
very much for the presentation. Mr. President, my question is one of the other questions that I have. As I have spoken about, I stick to the presentation. My question is, where do you go to the people in the grassroots and the rural areas? See them and take them and try them. Is it just playing in their areas, they even get injured.
because master very man can
you no longer take care of them and you no longer want
to.
And if there is something that they are doing, how much is allocated to promote women in sport? The other question, it will be that SASCOC encourage federations to introduce the other sports code in townships and villages. We want to see, like that, in Pumala, unabanda baswima, unabaswimi lessons when it comes to the villages and the townships. The other thing that I want to check is on the issue of how will ASPA ensure that athletes who qualify for Olympics are clean from any bad substances. The other question it will be that I can say that we are sending a team, a big team. I just want to find out, is there any thing or any promise about the number of medals that we are going to get? The number, it will be more or whatsoever, because we are sending a large team. The other thing I just want to ask about the to SASCOC is about the demographic presentation of the team management as well as the team medical staff, and where the medical staff hired in a fair and transparent manner. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomani. So far, I'll just ask two questions if I will be having another time. And when we are listening, thinking both presentations, I'm looking at the budget, and I was hearing that even Rotary has given you some funds, which you usually sometimes complain that they are not giving you, and they will give the answer that you didn't account. How much is Lotron give you and or promising? But you said you have bought that. And do you think that the South Africa or the department can afford to take such a big delegation and in this amount that we are putting down? Looking at the economy, looking at the challenge of COVID, looking at the monies that even in the department has been, the budget has been cut each and every now. Really, I was also looking at all the presentation of the players. Somebody's talking about soccer, and I'm suspecting we have a women football, we have rugby women, but when we look at your stats, there's nothing is saying that not even one from these sports codes, which we know that every now and then with SAFA we will be asking, what are you doing with these women, and even to the department. But I don't see that they are featuring any house yet. And when you are looking at your numbers those who are at now that are qualifying, your percentage of I'll say, I don't want to say the percentage of your transformation look inward. I'm saying that yes, about 39 of the African delegation, and 60% of the world. What does that mean in the transformation the scoring card? Are you not part of that? And what is your comment? How are you going to look at
the transformation in the sport, and how are you going to influence to whoever from ASAA and to your good selves. I want those few questions. I'll come if the time does allow. Thank you. I'm giving to you Saskok, President.
Thank you,
Chair. You will be assisting us by allocating people to talk. President, why is this, is the CEO or CFO, CEO still acting? I'm a today. Why is still acting since then?
And this is your third question.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks again to the committee for the questions. We look forward to answering them. With regards to the National Lotteries Commission's allocation to SASCOC, the current policy of the National Lotteries Commission is to allocate only 5 million to SASCOC as the umbrella body for sports annually. And once that money is allocated, we use that money as per the lotteries contract. And if that money doesn't go towards the preparation and delivery of Team South Africa to the Olympics and Paralympics. And that is why we have to find other money. The reason that the Sports Trust is being used or other entities is in order to then source that funding, we have to try and use institutions that don't have that limits so that SASCOC can have access to NLC funding. And we'd like, as we said in the past, for that NLC policy to change, and we're willing to work with the NLC as well as with the different departments to try and action that process. In terms of the sponsorships, Chairperson, yes, we cannot give you the exact sponsor yet because we want to sign the contract for the first clothing sponsor at the end of this month, I think beginning of March. And they've asked for some secrecy on the matter so that the launch can be a proper launch. And we're working with them on that particular matter. And any other sponsorship that we're getting in, and we are engaging other businesses who will be providing us with sponsorship to try and assist Team South Africa to deliver it to the Olympics and Paralympics. So if you can give us time on that one, but if you need all the information after the contracts have been signed and the launch has taken place, we're glad to do that as a matter of transparency. I might look old, Chairperson, because I've got grey hair, but I still play active sports, and the only policy in SASCOC's constitution deals with the 70-year-old, and I'm nowhere close to that 70 cutoff. And I will challenge any of the committee members to a game of squash or tennis to prove that I'm not old as I look. But I'm there because of SASCOC's constitution, and because it wasn't a criteria of the Zuman report, it was the SASCOC members put the 70-year time limit on the board. The Zuman recommendation, and Chairperson, we will gladly share that report with you as well. We just come from two meetings with the department as well as the minister on that matter as well. And we are busy compiling the report for the minister. If you wish to have an updated report from us, we can forward that to you via the facilitator, Mr. Yamdashe, and the Mr. Ngwenya, who are dealing with that particular matter. And we can gladly send that update to you as well. Amen. When it comes to team selection of Team South Africa, I would like some of the other staff members to come in on board here. But it was in 2019 or 2018 our SASCOC members together decided to ease the selection criteria so that more people can have access to international competitions such as the IOC and the IBC. We do receive substantial funding from the IOC, and it's important for us as SASCOC also to adhere to the mantra or the philosophy of the IOC and IBC about getting people to experience those platforms as well. Of course, there is a balance, and the minister has mentioned this to us as well as you, Chair, that taking the COVID year into account, taking economic constraints that we find ourselves in, we will be engaging with our federations about the size of the team and who eventually goes. The list that was presented to you now is the list, the proposed list that we currently have. It has not been finalized yet. And I think Mr. Governor did say, or Mr. Fleischer, that those numbers are coming down. And we are currently speaking with all the involved federations about those issues that you've raised and what the minister has raised. I'll ask Mr. Fleischer and Mr. Governor to speak about the budget separation, if you don't mind, Mr. Governor.
Just a moment, thank you, President. Honorable members and our guests, at 12 o'clock, Minister is going for the special cabinet. Can we give him a slot just now? Because he's about to go. Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to members and the ASA and SASCOC presentation. The president of SASCOC has mentioned the fact that we have had interactions on this preparation, so we're familiar with it and we've made our points, some of which he has alluded to. We have our own follow-up meeting to try and drill into a number of issues which emanate out of the process of preparation for Tokyo. So I won't touch on that. But just to say to Honorable Mshongo that well, organizations have constitutions. We normally don't talk for the sake of speech. SASCOC is an organization, a confederation, which follows its constitution, and once it doesn't, we'll be able to raise that. So me being mum on who they elect and who they don't elect, that is their baby. That is the task of SASCOC and SASCOC leadership. You are not going to hear me, not today, not tomorrow, saying anything about how they run their businesses unless there's an issue about corporate governance and such issues, we will be able to. But who they elect, no. Don't expect us to say anything even in future.
Wait,
the issue of the
point of order, Chair. Just a moment, a minute, Minister. Honorable Mshongo. Chair, I didn't ask the Minister to comment on update. I'm asking based on the question of free and fair election, as the status of this committee, we declare that those elections are not going to be free and fair. Not the status of today. That's not our business. The fairness and the freedom of those elections. Another of them.
Honorable Mshongo, can we, yes, I'm saying, can we let the minister finish and then we will be engaging the responses of the minister. So we wanted that he must finish what he wants to say, and we have got a right to engage on his responses. Thank you, Honorable Mshongo.
I will emphasize the point that the Constitution, unless somebody comes and say that the section so and so of this organization's constitution has been violated. So any other matter, free and fair, is a moot point, as long as people are following the procedures and rules which govern them and which govern their organizations. On the issue of the indigenous games, I think that Uma Kaula has raised this matter, which is very important. I think there's another member who raised the very same matter. It's precisely that reason that annually we have a program which is promoting the indigenous games, and we have invested in them so that the society gets to understand the importance of the indigenous games. And we'll continue to do that. We hope that, as members have said, at some point they would reach that level of international competitive level and so on. Is in Imdarone.
These indigenous games?
Okay. Imdarone, is Alogapulu, who's the one?
I'm still saying, don't do that. The minister is speaking. I don't know who's doing that. Respect the meeting.
Other games. And the interpreters.
I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Honorable members, we have an interpreter. I've forgotten for Isisul. I'm very sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
So she will interpret after I've just finished there.
Can't you do that? Even when you were interviewed during the honorable member, it was not gelling. If you can summarize, can you do that?
It has to be simultaneous, ma'am.
Okay. It's your rules.
Yes.
Okay. Go on, Minister.
No, she says that it has to be simultaneous, so meaning she wants to do the translation now.
Yes,
sir. But I can just be mum and say.
Sorry, Minister.
Minister, continue. And the interpreter will interpret as he speaks.
Minister, go on.
Okay, all right. Now that's fine. Then the issue of the sporting fields and grounds in the villages is also one major concern we have, which has been asked here. So what happens from the department's point of view, we transfer to municipalities. Every year, this grant to municipalities, amongst others, would be to build stadiums and so on. So that's the procedure and the legal framework we are following. We have found in other instances that the kind of grants which we are compelled by law to give to the municipalities, that is a district, sometimes do not do what's supposed to be done, that is building of stadia and so on, and other facilities, and get prioritized elsewhere. There is not much in law which we have to sanction that. That is why with COPTA we are interacting as to what is it that can be done, because we don't build this facility as the department, but because you know that the actual game, the actual engagement, the actual some sporting activities happen at the local level, that is where things get stuck as we speak. The last point is the point on school sport. Again, Makaula is so correct here that the school sport is very key to the general development of sport. And if you are not at your best at that level, you are likely to reproduce less athletes who would be competing at higher levels, as it were. We have already engaged in looking at this tool, how effective it is, the school sport, together with the Department of Sport, I mean the Department of Basic Education. My counterpart Minister Mutesa, have already had interaction on this and looking at how best can we get up the school sport so that it will have its own influence to other areas of sporting endeavor. So I'll end there, Chair, on those areas which I thought that needed the department and needed ourselves to talk to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Interpreter?
I interpret when he comes in Zulu, but when it's English, I'm just set up.
Listen, I wanted that Honorable Makaula must hear what the minister was saying.
We only take in Zulu, but it's English, we don't.
Honorable Shiere.
No, the person I was saying, Makaula can hear and understand when he communicates in English. It's only when she communicates in Sisulu that we'll need interpretation. But when we communicate in English, she's part of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, interpreter. Thank you, Makaula. And Honorable Siabe, the President of SASCO.
The minister will be leaving. Can I ask questions to the minister? You'll be leaving at 12, and I'll be leaving to at 12. Can I ask questions based on what you want to speak?
Are you sure? Just a moment, Honorable Malomani.
Thank you, Chair. Can Honorable Shaw do that in writing to the Office of the Minister?
No. It's not to a traitor that I must speak to writing to the Minister. I'm in this conversation and I'm not asking questions.
Honorable members, because Minister is going to leave, if anyone has a follow-up question to the minister, I'm allowing you to do that. Minister is capable of answering that. With due respect, Honorable Member. Honorable Mshongo, do a follow-up question.
Thank you, Chair. Minister, when will the MOU between the Sports Department and the Education Department of school to be signed? They said that 2018-2019 was signed. What is happening with the latest implementation of that MOU? Another is, Minister, any of you, do you think election of SASCOC was clear today? Any of you? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Honorable members, you must ensure that we all want to be answered. We all want to have answers to our minister. We must handle this meeting accordingly. Honorable Minister.
Sir, I understand, sir. Yeah,
Minister.
In the Obama, Minister.
Mine was. Thank you very much to the minister. Minister was relevant.
I'm satisfied. Municipalities are doing nothing. Thank you, Minister.
We are landing.
You must also make sure that you make a follow-up. Because that person is the one that is failing. The municipalities are doing nothing. It will appear as if it's your department that is failing. These are the things that you must aware of. Things are going down every day. Because we are going to fight with you. Thank you.
Honorable Minister, with your few minutes left.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to members, Honorable Mhlongo and Ilunge Mhloniphekile Umama Ukhawula. Well, you are correct, Honorable Mhlongo. The MOU was signed. It is there in the Department of Basic Education. Excuse me. And our department. It's there. And you are also correct to make an observation that the actual implementation is
there.
And that's what we're trying to deal with, that it's well and good to identify the problem, but the issue is what do you do with that problem? So we have tasked, together with Minister Mtsheva, we have tasked our officials to look at this tool. The question we have put, put to the whole process is, whether this tool is effective and working. And if we find that it's not effective, why is it not effective and what should be done? And that's what the two departments or the two departmental officials are dealing with at the moment. The second question, your question about the freeness and fairness of the election, the task force, I will take it back to you. That very question, to expatiate what is this free or lack of freeness and fairness in that election based on which clause of the procedure of election within SASCOC. So unless I have clarity on that, I won't talk about what I feel as an individual, but somebody else feel as an individual, but in terms of the corporate governance, which area do you think is not up to scratch insofar as that is concerned? That for me would help very much. I don't know. I really don't know what to say, because you see, I'm talking to someone who's on the ground, has been to municipalities and how municipalities operate. I have nothing to add really, except accepting what you are saying, that when you look at athletes, when you look at the sporting facilities and so on, the first people you think of is our department, you know, it's supposed to be as natural as that, but unfortunately, what you're saying is true, that we get a raw deal when it comes to prioritizing sport, particularly at the level of, and we know, Ma, we follow up, Honorable Member, we do follow up, we know that things are really not. Let's make an example. When there is a problem in municipalities, some people have not been paid or something else have not been done. The very allocation which is coming from sport tend to do other things other than sport. So it's a systemic issue which, as I said, that engaging with our colleagues at COPTA, but broadly at government and the design of government, I don't see. Ordinarily, it should be easier because those people are very much close to where people are than ourselves as a national department. But when it comes to actual doing what is supposed to be done, that's where the problem starts. But I thank your input, and I take it as is. It's the gospel truth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. President,
Chairperson, the minister has asked me, can I explain, because he wanted to hear me, why am I saying that it's about to be a threat? He wanted that to say, I must explain, and then you'll take a decision based on what I'm going to say. That's the Chairperson, we have a member here who was elected, Ikamalake Ukundisa, he was elected, but before he was elected, he allegedly claimed that he's a tenant and he had work done with Isasco. He was a consultant with Isasco. But now today he's elected and came to our meeting. And for information minister, that is not of my view that election alone we're not going to get fair. It was committee's view. Even our chairperson did not even attend because we told him not to attend on our behalf. HGM Isasco. Now, issues of corporate government, it has been there, it has been an issue. The appointment of the facilitator. The facilitator was not fair to members of the present board, which is the top five. One of them was Uba Uskosana, who's here. Now, based on that, they were not given opportunity. Then this issue was put under the carpet. That's a governance issue, a questionable. Hendrik's issue, allegation against the president that was elected, is questionable. Now, those are the issues, Chair, and for information minister, you must go via our minutes. I'm not the only one who said that the committee raised issues of the governance. Now, at the end of the day, corporate governance was not adhered to. On that note, Chair, Minister, what is your view, and have you noted our standpoint on the fairness of the election, Zasasco? What is your view? Did you go there where Nakuma election, did you do an oversight where Zasasco has your mandate to do that? Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much. No, I think that all the answers, except the journalist one, I'm hearing for the first time. All the answers he's asking, I am certain they would be responded to, each and every one of them. If Sascock was not here, I would have done that, but Sascock is here, and I'm au fait with the process. I also know that before the conference of Sascock, there were issues, and when we looked at these issues, there are more of systemic issues within Sascock, within sport. For instance, somebody has raised the point here that such sporting codes as football are nowhere to be seen in terms of the leadership of Sascock. And I am saying that some of those things are part and parcel of your process, which is also our process of looking at the National Sport and Recreation Act itself, and ensure that where there are gaps within the Act, those gaps are filled. But as it relates to the specific matters, which I'm not sharing for the first time, just familiarize myself with, I would suggest, Chair, that the president of Sascock and the team Sascock would be able to deal with and respond to. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Thank you very much, Honorable Song, of course, this issue of the SASCOC and the ATM. We have discussed as this committee, and we took a decision as a committee. We own that decision. But I'll plead with you, Honorable Mshongo. We're still maintaining that we took that decision. We're not denying. But I'm worried about entertaining it today, but thank you that you raised it, and part of what you are raising, the minister responded and is saying that even the SASCOC, they are going to respond. My main worry is that also this thing of the Olympics is so crucial, and as we're sitting here, we're still waiting that SASCOC must come and give us a fully report. As you are aware that I was even saying that we're still having a CEO that is still acting, which means there are still problems that SASCOC still need them and sit with them, telling us how are they now, because they went to the conference, which were not part of it, but we accept that there was a conference and there is a leadership. So we can do that, Honorable Mshongo. We are capable of calling out that meeting in order that the outstanding reports from SASCOC, because they were left us, we were complaining of so many things, which now, if we can raise it in this meeting, we cannot finish and done with it, the agenda of today. I'm not undermining your questions.
Thank you, Chair. I understand your ruling. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Honorable Aja, Honorable President of SASCOC, you were still going to give some of your board members to respond, and after that, the president of the Adult South Africa will come in. Can we continue in that order?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm still trying to wrap up in terms of all the points, and if the staff or any of the board members feel that they need to come in and add, then please feel free to do so. So some of the questions, in terms of why do we separate the budget between IOC between the Olympics and the Paralympics? It's simply to give us a greater insight about the expenses, about the team size, about the differences in that regard. So it was a management strategy on our side. A member requested the SASCOC policies in terms of the IOC and selection, as well as the players' pack. I'm sure that the acting CEO will send that out to the committee. With regards to the difference between the hockey and the football budget, the current list that we have is two hockey teams and one football team, and hence the difference. Men's hockey, women's hockey, and the the young football team, and that's why there's a difference in that regard. Why is boxing not there? Because of COVID-19 and its impact in South Africa, and in fact, there's only going to be, from what I've heard, only one qualifier. And our teams don't qualify for that at an international level. So COVID may have had a very bad effect on the boxing and fraternity. Madam Chair, we don't want to give out who has actually qualified yet, because we don't want to raise the expectation or names just yet, because we don't want to increase the expectation about. We've said these teams qualify, therefore they are going. We need, as you said, to take the economic environment into account. We need to take the COVID into account. And we need to sit down with those federations to resolve those particular issues. How were the athletes chosen? The athletes were chosen because of the qualifying criteria of the IOC and the IPC. Did any athletes get help during the COVID year? Yes. The IOC provided funding, as well as ANOCA, Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa. They identified specific athletes, and those athletes received funding toward their preparation. Yes, and Madam Chair, the Olympics is not just about medals, and I'm sure Mr. Anand Singh, the IOC member, would agree with me on this. It is an intrinsic part of it, but it's also good to try and encourage juniors and youth to go to these mega international mega events as part of their growth in the future. That is why we want to take teams along that we see as a future potential of medaling, let's say, in France, in Paris in 2024. So we have to take all those issues into consideration as well. The vaccinations are not forced by the IOC, but the IOC have given assurance that no one will be forced to vaccinate, but the IOC has also given us a clear indication that they are willing to pay for the vaccination of Team South Africa, the whole of the Team South Africa, and extra vaccinations as well, as recommended by government. So we'll be working with the COVID task team and the minister to get this done. And yes, there might be a case where we want to have the athletes vaccinated in phase two or phase three, but that sort of negotiations we need to discuss with the relevant authorities. Yes, there is a program to generate news. We have a program called Road to Tokyo, and we've just agreed with SABC to be part of that particular program, and we're just checking to Supersport on that issue as well. And there are other programs that are going to come out as well, as, for example, the IPC program, where we're going to try and light up Table Mountain to bring about an awareness of disability sport in purple. So those are programs that are on our table, and we'll be discussing when we're ready to announce them, Chairperson. This deduction in teams versus the budget, I think what the acting CEO said was, we have Olean Fleischer, that we do have a team, but it seems to be the numbers are seeming to be dropping already. And because of that, and because of sponsors coming in, the budget that we put forward to the National Lotteries Commission, that will also be reduced. For example, clothing, which was part of that initial budget, that will come off that initial budget. No, is that for doing enough to support women in sport? No, ma'am, not at this point. But what we are doing is we've set up a Women in Sports Commission with all our other commissions as well, and they will prepare a program of action for us so that we can work on this very important component of sport in South Africa. Again, the medals issue and whether we are going to achieve medals, this is done in conjunction with our national federations. They advise us, and our close relationship with them determine our expectations, but not saying that we will achieve this. It's at this stage, we need to still work with federations to determine medals. The support staff selection, yes, ma'am, SASCOC's policy has changed. 50% women on all commissions, and we're going to try and work to achieve that in all avenues, including support staff. And we will be working with the relevant commissions to try and achieve this, including the demographics. The lottery promises and reporting, as far as I know, ma'am, we have reported on all the funding we've received from lottery, and the CEO can speak, acting CEO can speak on that. And then, yes, we are working with our federation to try and achieve our transformation goals, and that is why we cannot be happy that we have a certain percentage in terms of transformation, but we can only work through our federation to try and achieve this as well as the EPG. And then lastly, ma'am, your question on the ACCL. At the last previous board meeting, we have a resolution that the acting CEO's position must be resolved as a matter of urgency, and that we must appoint a full-time CEO and be busy in the process of achieving, of implementing that, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, President. I've seen the hand of your board member, Anand.
Thank you, Chair. As an IOC member and as a South African, the objective of the IOC is certainly to develop sport, and we contribute as about 25 million rand a year towards SASCOC, and the idea is to create heroes and to bring athletes to the Olympics to further their careers as time progresses. You may have someone who will run fourth, and then in the next Olympics will win a gold medal. When Josiah Tagwane won the marathon, nobody had even heard of him, and he was a hero overnight, being the best in the world. Also, the next Youth Olympics is in Dakar, and that's going to be a very rich platform for our athletes, and again, the objective of Tokyo is to develop from there too. Thank you.
President, I'm suspecting you are supposed to give your delegation. You still have questions not yet answered.
If any of the board members wish to say anything, please.
Yes.
I don't see any hands, Madam Chair.
Honourable members, of course, I will be giving the President of Atlas South Africa. Are you happy about the questions that are all answered? Honourable members, are you still there?
I think Chapters in October was a good
silence means I should think.
Okay. Who's there?
It's Malumani.
You know, in this committee, we have an imbogodo that sometimes when you want to have tension, we must laugh. Tension has that bring such a mother, Honorable Malumani. And Honorable Knox, after Honorable Malumani is Honorable Knox, I'm sorry, Honorable Members, I didn't open upper screen, so I'm seeing your hands. It's Honorable Malumani, it's Honorable Siabe, it's Honorable Mshongo, it's Honorable Mshongo, yes. In that order.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think my question was answered on the promotion of women in sport. The other thing is the encouragement of the other federations so that maybe they can introduce the other sports code, except because we know everywhere is soccer and athletics, the other sporting code in the townships and villages. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malumani. I'm very sorry that I didn't open, because when I was saying they must answer, I was saying that there are questions which are not yet responded. So I was thinking what you are doing is good, to do a follow-up of your questions. Honorable Siabe?
Thank you, Chair. And let me also join other colleagues in welcoming the two reports from SASCOC and ASA. COVID-19, we can't deny that COVID-19 has affected our lives in South Africa across the board. and we are trying to change the way we do things, even from government level. And it can be business as usual in SASCOC when we prepare for Tokyo 2020. Now, I've checked in all the years. In 2016, the total delegation that was sent was 138. But today, our expectation is to triple that. I heard what the president said, but when you come here and present that your expectation is to send a delegation of 303 for Olympics and 71 for Paralympics, under these conditions, it would mean that we're not sensitive to these conditions. And I've tried to make my additions in terms of the budget. All this budget, these figures combined, preparations and the delivery of the team to Tokyo amounts to about 75 million. And in terms of our expectation as SASCOC, you expect only 13 medals for Olympic and 20 medals for Paralympic. So we're expecting only 33 medals out of a delegation of 374 and a budget of 75 million. And we have been told that there will be an offset by sponsors and so on, but we're not told what is the expectation from those sponsors. And even if you don't tell us the names of the sponsors, but we must be told what is the expectation of those sponsors. As this committee, we are representing Parliament and we are representing the people of South Africa. And the team that is going to Tokyo is representing the people of South Africa. So I think we must be serious about that. In comparison to Kenya, for example, and Ethiopia, we have always been sending the largest team. But when it comes to medal, they are always coming top of us. And even if we say there will be an increase, the trend from 1992, the trend shows that even we have an increase, we have never received more than 10 medals. Is it possible to move to triple that? And so on and so on. So I think as we prepare, we need to be fair to ourselves, fair to this committee, so that we are fair to South African people. We don't raise expectations which are not going to be realized. And even with preparations, it's obvious that COVID-19 has affected our preparations. And all these years, we have not been having COVID-19, but we have not been performing to our expectations. Now, this year, this time, we are even being compromised by COVID-19, but we expect miracles. Let us not raise expectation. Let us come down to reality. Because we hear from you that your expectation is a delegation of 303. And there are so many people from management. I don't know what you said that they are going to do. There are so many. It's almost 100 from management who are going to take care of 217 athletes. So it means it's one person to two people. One person is going to look after two people. To me, that is unrealistic, and we don't have this money. We need to look at other imperatives of the country, and so on and so on. And added to that, we are expecting a third wave, as advised by or Department of Health scientists around that time, and we're not getting it clear whether the government of Japan is ready to accept South Africans, because other countries are no longer traveling to South Africa. Other countries have suspended accepting South Africans in their country. What is going to happen with us as South Africans in Japan? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shinyabe. Honorable Sam. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, the follow-up question regarding the condition of not answered. Is condition still a consumption? Listen, I have a condition back into our team the last time we met, because he can't just be as a journalist. What are you doing about it? And is he still a consumption today? And I wanted to find out regarding the issues. That there was an issue of abuse of unauthorized expenditure, which was used against him while he was a consultant with Chascock. That question was not answered. Why is NLC money by it goes to a sports trust? What is the reason for the money from NLC will just be managed or administered by sports trust? What is the reason all about? Regarding the Zuma recommendation, when all those recommendations, when are they going to be implemented? For example, I'm saying football, netball, rugby, athletics, cricket, that's not kind of the new board, so to say. And when those recommendations are going to be implemented? And I think we've been talking about this issue of Chascock just in touch. Any of you said that you knew our step on the day of election, that the committee declared that Chascock elections are not going to be the best, because there are issues. I think I've mentioned some of them, even your issues. What is the new board going to do with the outstanding issues that the committee has raised before? What are you going to do, because there's a list of issues that the Chascock has addressed? Thank you, Chair, for now.
Thank you, Honorable Tshombo. Honorable the President, we must not forget that we still have the President of Athletics.
Thank you, ma'am. And I don't want to also put Ms. Kosana in any spots, because you're now talking about an elective process with both of us and we're involved in, and there were many issues before that, so I'm very wary about that. With regards to the Women in Sport program, I'd like Lwandile Semilani, our first vice president, to speak on the program that we've already implemented in terms of consultation, as well as the putting together of an inclusive Women in Sport program for future. Mr. Malani?
Thank you, President. I think the President has already alluded to the fact that as an organization, we do not believe that enough has been done with regards to women in sport. And we need to start engaging on a greater level with our federations to increase participation, to increase qualification standards of female athletes. And that is one of the programs that the Gender Commission of SASCOP is looking to engage in. Obviously, when we discuss women in sports, we look at it in a multifaceted approach, from representativity of leadership to participation in the actual sports, to provision of infrastructure, to policy, to the policy environment around women in sport as well. So we do attest and acquiesce to the point that definitely enough has not been happening, and we will be putting a program in place to ensure that our federations are doing the necessary developmental work as well, in ensuring that more female participation is coming through the ranks and making it up to the way of high performance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Milani. To answer the question around other sporting codes, with the Olympics and Paralympics, the sports are decided by those institutions. So, for example, netball will not be part of that, even though netball is the biggest women's sport. And football might be catching up with that. But there are other opportunities for other mega events, like the Commonwealth Games, where netball is part and parcel of those events, or other African events as well. So based on the type of event or the event, you have different types of sporting codes attached to it. And we adhere to their requirements for participation. With regard to the expectations of sponsors, we have negotiated with the clothing sponsor. The clothing sponsor has seen our figures. The clothing sponsor is comfortable in that regard. But again, the engagement that we are having now with you and with the minister clearly indicates that there are other issues, national issues, that need to be taken into account. So that when we leave with the team South Africa, it is a team that is not mired in controversy about not being sensitive to South Africa and the like. And we will take those issues into account when we chat to the other potential sponsors that we are also working with and with this current M1. And to be fair to Mr. Siyabi, yes, we must try to be fair. We need to take all those things into account because we have a responsibility as SASCOC also to lead on this matter. And we have to be honest with ourselves and with the South African public as well. The role of management and support staff, to a large extent, that's determined by the code of sports criteria as well. So if you have X amount of members for the sports squad, usually goes hand in hand using the federation's recommendations with the support staff and ease. And this also applies to the medical staff as well as SASCOC's own staff. So that is why we have a contingent of management staff, but also medical as well as the SASCOC administrative staff as well. So as the teams come down and the numbers of the admin components and medical components comes down as well. Is Mr. Pundisa Gwenya a consultant? No, he's not a consultant. Did he follow the proper processes as required by SASCOC to stand in the elections? Did he follow the nomination process, the election process, any appeals process? He was part and parcel of that process. Was he nominated by federations? Yes, he was nominated by federations. Were the elections free and fair? I think that the chair has alluded to the fact that we might have another meeting in this regard. And as far as SASCOC is concerned and the SASCOC board, we would like to put all those aspects on the table so it can be as transparent as possible, noting and respecting the decision of the portfolio committee when they made the decision about free and fairness. But then we'd also like to explain all the systems that we put in place to ensure that those elections were free and fair and were accepted by our members in that regard as well. When Mr. Condition Gwenya was a consultant, he used the vehicle of SASCOC, and it was found that he had traveled with a car. That issue was raised by the board, and I'd like to go back to the decision of the board to review what the decisions were taken in that regard, if you don't mind. And we'll come back with a proper reply and a proper report in that regard as well. With the Zoom one, we've given the minister in our last meeting a deadline to implement the vast majority of the Zulman recommendations by the 31st of March. But there are other outstanding matters that require the changing of the Sports and Recreation Act, the Colours Board, and the implementation of a judicial body. Now, those are longer-term matters. But in essence, all the boxes other than that are in the process of being ticked, and our deadline is the 31st of March. The Zulman Commission doesn't talk about having football, rugby, cricket, tennis, squash in the makeup of the board itself. But every sport was consulted during the nomination process and the election process, including football, rugby, cricket, and they all voted for members of the board as was their right. And the board that we have now is a result and they are. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. I've asked why is the NRC funding is administered by Plus why is that money going to Plus Sport Club? That was not answered. I've noted that the president, he was the acting president before, even today he's not sure what is happening with police, but I've been waiting for that report because of irregular expenditure which was in care, and we'll wait for that. But I wanted to find out what is the actual date since you've spoken to the minister, and the minister is not here, because the timeline doesn't date SASCOM. I think those dates were expired. Now, what is the new timeline that you are talking to the minister, which is the committee is not even aware of? Thank you, Chair.
I'm sorry. I just want to check. I've also responded on our questions because I can't remember that I've heard the responses on my questions.
Yes, there were no answers in the questions. Are you writing on the members of the when people ask you questions?
Yes, I am. So with regards to the timeline with the minister, we met with the minister last week, Wednesday. To provide him with the updates with the current reports as well as the Zuma report, and those were the dates that we then agreed with the minister. And I'm sure if you were to ask us to forward the Zuma update to you, we'll also give that information to you as well, Madam Chair.
Did you write the questions from Honorable Van Dijk?
This is Van Dijk. It is called to LSA.
Okay, that's correct. Specifically okay. The flood in the rural areas.
Let me, before I'm given to ASA, I want you to remind the SASCOM that we're supposed to call the area, but because of some agents' things in our committee program, instead, I'm not expecting that if we are calling you now, we want you to come and report to us. You left us with an outstanding answer. So I don't know whether that's 31st of March, even our good friends. I'm not sure Zoleka and Jabu when is the next meeting with SASCOM. Which you have shifted as a committee because prioritizing these things. I would love that when you call to such scope, you must be ready. It appears I'm not having my diary of the problem of the committee, but you were supposed to come earlier. But let me just tell you that as we are saying that when you want to we'll be ready, we'll be pleased. In order that we must close some other discussions with you and go forward with
through the work of sport to use sport. Honorable Kosana.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me delve into Honorable Van Dijk questions. Honorable Van Dijk, we are as frustrated as you are when it comes to school sport.
Sir.
Yes.
Sir. I won't mess it up.
Okay, Manan, yes.
In the same situation like you, your concerns are our concerns when it comes to school. We have heard Honorable Minister talking about the MOU that was signed between the DPE and the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, and the stalemate when it comes to the implementation of that MOU that will unlock all the obstacles where we come in as a federation. When we come in as a federation to schools, we come in purely for sports and recreation admission. But you find that between the sports and recreation departmental officials who are working with us and the DPE officials, there is always an issue who is in charge of children, who is going to who is supposed to allow them to come to sports and all that. But coming back to the issue of class registration, there is a program that I'm sure you are aware of, that is run by the department nationally and provincially, where they call it the Club Development Program, where clubs are developed in the rural, in the townships, in the small towns, municipalities and all that, for different sports, and they are beneficiaries as athletics. Why so? Clubs at most, they allow children to be able to be part of the mainstream sports so that they can be selected to national, going through to district, provincial, national, and international. But that does not mean if you are in a school situation, you are not allowed to participate in ISA athletics. I know, for an example, in many provinces, the Department of Sport and Recreation in particular, they play a huge role in identifying and helping us to take those children to be part of mainstream sport. Those whose coaches and teachers and what have you are excelling, and we talk to them now and then. Let me not be heard that I'm saying there is no cooperation between us and DPE in provincial and national level. There is collaboration and cooperation, but we wish it to be much better and smooth and all that. The payment of entry fees and affiliation for us to participate is not an issue. I know in many provinces where the athletes are participating in clubs are even affiliating for those children, and provinces also allow children at the provincial championships to participate even if they don't have their money. All what they do, they give them a temporary license so that they can be able to be registered, because it's part of the national rules and the global rules. It's part of our system where we keep the names of people who are entering so that we don't lose them. And the SASA issue, SASA and ASA, we have got SASA interim committee that is running schools athletics in the country. I had them last week and the week before that. They are working on the means and ways and also on how to organize events based on COVID, but we know that the Department of Basic Education has issued different instructions, rules and regulations compared to the sports, arts and culture, and we are working on that. I think tomorrow there is a meeting between DPE and Department of Sports and Culture, a joint national task team that talks to federations about all the issues that affect the national federations who are expected to be the drivers of development and the mothers and the founders of all school sports and housing school sports. Qualified cards make a simple, whether you are at school or not at school, you are allowed to qualify. You have a 10.3% as a junior boy, you are allowed, and the school's competitions are also sanctioned by ASA at all levels, and the teachers are sanctioned by us and all that. Let me also say that because of what the Department of Basic Education has said at this point in time, we're having influxes of school principals and sports organizers coming to ASA provinces, wanting their schools to join ASA provinces so that they can be able to participate rather than sit and wait for the Department of Basic Education to say they must be able to wait until COVID is over. Why is that? It's because our youth, the 16 to 18, Madam Chair and Honorable Members, as well as those who are 18 to 20, which we call junior, they will be going to the World Championships in Kenya this year. And every athlete and every school that has participated before, they are aware of this and they want to be part of the mainstream so that they can be selected by ASA. So we are working very hard and we understand all the challenges that have been presented by COVID. But let me assure you, no athlete, whether he is at school, whether he is affiliated or not affiliated, as long as he comes to our competition, is given the opportunity to participate so that he or she can be selected for the team that will beyond the continent of Africa, right up to the World Championships. Thank you very much. And Honorable Sibisi also requested us to do more in terms of youth and junior as well as road running. Just for the information of the Honorable Portfolio Committee members, last year we were supposed to go to the World Championships. South Africa is ranked number 6 in the world. And in terms of our preparation, we were going for the top 3 in the world, but the competition was postponed and is going to take place in Kenya. We're still focused in taking South Africa to be in the top 3. In 2017, South Africa in the youth category, which is under 18, we became number 1 in the whole world. So our youth and junior is the biggest strength, Mr. CBC. Thanks, Mr. CBC, because you have been part of athletics, you understand these issues. When it comes to road running also, we are a global force, and you can see many of our athletes in the 100 kilometers, in the 50 kilometers, getting the team prize, getting the individual prizes, both men and women. When it comes to marathon, half marathon, we are very powerful. And there are 5 countries in Africa. It's Kenya, it's Ethiopia, it's Uganda, it's Morocco, and South Africa that are leading the whole world when it comes to road running. And we are doing more and we continue to do more. And we are also asking Honorable Member of Chair, and including Honorable Kaula, if you meet us, Honorable Smithy, Honorable Sandage, please give us a call. Even in your area, we can be able to meet you with our provincial members or even our local members so that you can be able to engage and do and channel those who need to be channeled in athletics and be assisted by the department, by ASA, and by the provincial sports education and education. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Or CASTA, Mama Boda, Honorable Mama Boda. CASTA last year was preparing for the 200 meters. And she has told us that 200 meters will be difficult. And she is going to try to qualify for the 5,000 meters going to the Olympics. That is what she is working on at this point in time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Noel Kaula.
Ngibonge che evidence akusho jikana
ngiyakhe futhi right. I have been listening to the explanation and it's correct.
But ngicela sengayicela inumber
and just ask for the number of the
But one
I was not responded to.
Why do South Africa
don't we have qualified coaches in our own country? Get them from abroad. Why?
Is this a question to Babu Skhosana Lebuzayo ma'am?
It's straight to Mr. Skhosana or whoever. Ma'am Kaula.
Is still here Babu Skhosana?
Yes, I can respond, Honorable Chair, to Honorable Mamu Kaula, that for us it is not the case. All our coaches and all our Olympic champions, all our world champions, Commonwealth Games champions, African champions, SADC champions, Zone 6 champions, they are all coached by coaches who are brood and they come from here. They come from the very same communities, be it rural and be it urban and be it township. So all our coaches, we are one of those countries that are lacking. That our coaching system, especially in athletics, is embedded in schools, universities, and communities. So we are not, unlike other federations that rely upon importing people from different parts of the world to come and coach national teams and all that. Thank you very much.
Jefferson,
if you look at the vast majority of sport coaches in South Africa, I think there's 89 that's affiliated to SESCOC. The vast majority of them have South African coaches. And we must not try we must separate the coaches that we find in the professional football leagues with the coaches we find in the South African Football Association teams. Because we've got Desiree Ellis and we've got South Africans being coaches of the national squads in football. We have South Africans who are the national coaches in rugby, in cricket, in tennis. So the amount of people actually in from overseas or foreigners or people from other countries coaching national amateur squads is not that great at all.
Thank you, President. Both of you, Presidents. Honorable members, do you think that you still have something to say? Yes, this is giving me rabaraba, laying tongue, ababus kosana. Umamote auge ukulu, mingas.
Please say something, Siskosa.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. Honorable Mabula. And I come from KwaZulu-Natal, the south coast. I grew up in Lalindu, Ikhanda.
And learned all the processes of being a man in the rural area.
Yes. I still have Isabusami.
I still have my shirt. Mam Kaula. I still have Mam Kaula, my shirt.
Let me see, Mam Kaula. Unfortunately, I can't see you now, but I feel very much. Mam Kaula, I'm sitting for my language. I'm happy there.
We
are part of that indigenous. We support it, and I heard the minister, he was right. There is a lot of that is happening in the country. We always participate in other platforms, in the Boma Kendan, in Atu, in Dugu, and I see even here where I'm based in KwaZulu-Natal, there are people are forming a federation that is what they call it Umkangela, which is the open stick fighting, not even fighting because it's the wrong term, Ugunwenga, just to play, to show the technical skills in terms of how to hit the head or the leg or the body and all that. So we are part of that and we like it because we cannot be anything other than being Africans born in there. Those rural villages are still important. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, there was one question that I jumped from Honorable Magumane asking how are we going to ensure that the athletes that are going to the Olympics are clean and they don't have any substances. There is a very vibrant global and national system in South Africa that got states that is testing each and every athlete, and I'm sure SASOC president will be able to speak to that and the medical, and IOC also has got systems to make sure that the games and the athletes that attend those games, they come in as clean as possible. And from our World Federation also, there is a processes and procedures that are followed for athletes when they record certain times, heights and distances. And in South Africa, we catch athletes now and then, and they serve those sentences as required by states and water and all that. Thank you very much.
Honorable, thank you, Honorable Smith.
Just in interest, I would like to do a follow-up question to ASA President. Mongameli, the issue of school sports versus
the issue of school sports.
How long did it take for you? I know you have spoken about it, but this is getting too serious because schools athletics, sometimes school athletics is causing a confusion between who's supposed to run athletics in our country. Is it the Committee of Sports Athletics or is it ASA? So can you please sort, or even the department, I think the department must be involved in this since it's giving a lot of problems. Please, I would like to get a clear response from that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Simish. You know, the problem of this MOU, fifth parliament and then sixth parliament, as Honorable Mhlongo was asking Honorable Minister, was been having meetings, joint meetings with the Department of Basic Education. And yes, this MOU, it has been here once we're still a sport without matching with arts and culture. The reality is that committee must try to do more than that we can do to see the implementation, not only in papers, because the reality is that this MOU, it has been here in the last parliament and even in this present parliament. So we can be also blamed, but I don't know how, because every meetings we do talk about this problem of the MOU plus school sport. It is the same thing like this thing of infrastructure through Usalka, as you have heard, Umini.
So I wonder that let's know to that. But also I'm aware that you have shifted in the program, the meeting that we wanted that Sasko must come and brief us. Maybe you will be lucky that it's in the next quarter that, but I'm very worried if we are going to go to Minister 31st March, maybe we'll be coming back in program, I don't know, coming back in May, but you must be aware that we immediately felt when we are coming back, we are calling you back to come and report to us with an outstanding things which you know. Honorable members, I'm suspecting today we've done a lot, we've got information, and hoping that SASCOC, you must take care of what is going on worldwide. COVID-19 and this epidemic of this virus, it's killing. It's, let me not round up. I'm saying, we're also welcoming again, DDG, Sumaya, those who were not with us. She is also one of our family that lost a beloved husband, but thank you God that now for the second time she is with us. Really, COVID is killing. We've seen when it is killing, taking our families, our colleagues. We're worried about these games. We need that you must be very cautious. DTG?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The civilian is...
Yes, we do. Yes, we do hear you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you to yourself and to the committee and to all the colleagues who have expressed their condolences to me and my family during this difficult time. I know it's going to take a long time for us to accept it, but God has been on our side, and we take comfort in all of the colleagues and the support and the love that we get from all of you as well. So thank you very much. Madam Chair, just to respond to some of the issues that have been raised, I know the Minister has spoken about the MOU and the implementation of the MOU. Yes, there are things in the MOU that have been implemented. There are those issues that have not. We will provide the committee with a report that indicates what has been implemented, what has not been implemented. The Minister has also indicated that we have met with the Minister of Basic Education, and we, now that we are a merged Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, there are issues within arts and culture that also has, that are delivered within schools. So in our revision of the MOU, we're looking at both the issues of sport and the issues of arts and culture. We have a draft document in place, but given the fact that our colleagues in GBE were not available towards the end of the year with the pressures of exams, etc., we've not been able to go back to them to refine that document, but that is work in progress as well. Madam Chair, the other issue around school sport as raised by the Honourable Sidisi, for us as a department, we have made it very clear that federations need to take responsibility for school sport. Because the school sport is your bedrock for development. It is your nursery for talent identification. So we've made it very clear with all the federations, and I think SASCOC as well, that federations must take responsibility for school sport. And in that vein, within the SLAs that we sign with the federations for their funding, there is dedicated funding that we give to the federations for school sport matters. And federations themselves have to ensure that within their structures, either the executives that school sport is represented on their executive structures or on their structures. And particularly for the issue of athletics, President Skota will know that we work very closely to them, especially in all the challenges that they've had with the school sport structure. And the fact that we agreed on things in meetings, resolutions have been taken at executive level, and the school sport structure did things on their own. And we've been very clear that that the federation has to take a stand on that, and we will support that. So we were very clear with that in terms of the school sports athletic structures. So, Madam Chair, as I indicated with school sport, the federation is recognized. I mean, there's a regulation that recognizes sports bodies in the country. So we cannot work outside of the regulations. And we're saying that if there's a body that is representative of a sport in the country, all facets of it, whether it's school sport or whether it's, for example, futsal or whether it's any aspect of any code of sport, it is the responsibility of the recognized code of sport. Thank you very much, Judy.
Thank you so much, DTT, about that information. Really, if you do have some achievement out of MOU, we need them as yesterday. Because as we're speaking, we're just saying bluntly, the MOU is not implemented since then. So it's your offices, they must note what you are promising us. But honorable members, honorable the presidencies from both SASCOC, Athletics South Africa, our department, the boards which are here, our staff members, both national and in our parliament. Let me take this opportunity to say that South Africans are looking at us to improve the situation of sport, to implement what we call from EEPG, the transformation of sport. Without us in this meeting, people won't get what they are thinking that they can get. Let's try our best to fast track whatever. Suspecting the department will be assisting to us monitoring, doing oversight in some bills, in some amendment bills that must be done, let alone COVID-19. Because we were worried about the federations, because until we sort that, everybody must belong to a federation. As long as we are not having the law or not amending, we'll have a squabble every now and then. If we are people of sport, we need not to have squabbles. We need to improve. It's like the deliverables. We must prove the lives of our South Africans. The rural people, never ever, some of them, catch opportunities of even going to these Olympics. There are very few. Some of us, until we're here, we were just going for the sports on Wednesday with the plastics, not even having kickbacks. We've been playing netball, just local. Netball clubs going as far as Johannesburg. So now this is the time that all doors are open to the government of the people. Let's strive not to neglect whatever tools that we are having. Let's go to the poor rural areas that they must benefit on what our urban people are benefiting. We're not saying that they must not, because they are in urban, they must benefit. But we must remember the Rainbow Nation of South Africa. By those words, I'm thanking you to come and contribute and go and try to loosen to close gaps. These gaps are making us sometimes to fight among ourselves, but we need not to fight. Sports people are loving people. With those words, unless two of the presidents want to say something before I'll say that the meeting is adjourned. These two presidents, they are not showing their hands. Can I take this opportunity to tell you that the meeting is over?